The EntertainmentNerds.com podcast, and reflect opinions of Entertainment Earth's management, employees, its affiliates, you, me, or anyone you know. Be cool, don't sue. Hello, and welcome to the Entertainment Earth podcast. It is a Friday, October 5th, 2007, and I am your host, Adam. I am here to tell you about some good news and some not-so-good news today. Fans of Bungie are in for a shock. Fans of G.I. Joe, probably not in for so much of a shock. We also have a retrospective looking at 10 years of Final Fantasy VII, and much, much more. So let's get started. Movies, TV, and more. New at the box office this week, The Jane Austen Book Club, The Heartbreak Kid, The Seeker, Feel the Noise, and Michael Clayton. In other words, probably not a great week for the movies for a lot of us. Last week at the box office, The Game Plan was number one with $23 million, followed by The Kingdom, Resident Evil Extinction, Good Luck Chuck, and The 310 to Yuma. Saturday Night Live. This week, Seth Rogen of Knocked Up and Superbad fame is the host, so you might want to catch that. Star Trek. Paul McGillan of Stargate Atlantis claims to have tried out for the role of Scotty in the new 2008 Star Trek movie. No further confirmation seemed to be out there at this time. G.I. Joe the movie. Currently on deck for 2009 or so we hear. The rumor has it that the film's most recent draft is said to include the characters of the Dreadnoks, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, Zartan, Cobra Commander, and Destro. Damn, that doesn't sound like a decent possible flick. The Hobbit. Entertainment Weekly has a big article on the hypothetical Hobbit movie, or movies, from Peter Jackson, which will probably never happen. You can read it on their website. It talks about the various legal issues, personal issues, financial issues, etc., that are preventing this, no doubt, billion-dollar franchise from continuing. Toys. It's a very good week for toys. Let's start with Transformers. The movie DVD is due out in just a few weeks, and there are a lot of bonuses leaking to pop up on the internet. So far, the only ones we've confirmed are that Best Buy seems to be having a bonus set with two exclusive Robot Heroes action figures. One is Ultra Magnus, the other is Cliff Jumper. Best Buy also will be selling, we haven't confirmed this yet, two metallic repaints of the Voyager-class Megatron and Ratchet figures, each sold separately and packaged in robot mode. Walmart will have a bonus DVD with an animated prequel segment voiced over by Peter Cullen, better known as Optimus Prime himself. Also, Entertainment Earth posted several new assortments with new toys to the site last night. Some new toys include leader-class Nightwatch Optimus Prime, deluxe figures Camshaft, Stockade, and Landmine, and the Cyber Slammers, Jazz, and Cliffjumper. G.I. Joe. 25th anniversary Wave 4 with images and Wave 5 without have been posted to Entertainment Earth, so you can see all of the assortments and what comes in the case. Wave 4 is made of repackaged figures from the 3-5 packs, and Wave 5 features such awesomeness as the Crimson Guards, a black redeco of Snake Eyes, Snowjob, Flash, and a new Destro. Also, G.I.JoeClub.com is now selling overstock from the recent convention, meaning you can order the exclusives to your home or office. Be warned, they're very expensive. Also, you can put in your pre-order for the Mauler vehicle or the Shredder, which is a blue Cobra repaint of the Mauler, and these are available with a figure for $93 each. Ouch. Spider-Man. Walmart has an exclusive Spider-Man Spider-Spud 2-pack. One has Mr. Potato Head in a black costume, the other has the deep red metallic costume as seen in the movie. Marvel Legends. Walmart also has a series of exclusive Marvel Legends Box 2-packs from Hasbro. These are hitting now, as I've seen one of them last night. Sets include Cable with Marvel Girl, as well as Domino with Cannonball, so happy hunting! Star Wars 2008 Wave 1 has been announced. Figures in this Revenge of the Sith-themed assortment include 2-1B, Commander Gree, an Elite Trooper, a Mustafar, a Panning Droid, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Poe Nudo, and a Tri-Droid. Each figure will include a stand instead of a collector's coin, and the packaging will look very similar to the 2007 line. Video games. This week's biggest story, heck, this year's biggest story, just happened a few minutes ago, at least the official announcement. The big news for today is that Bungie, developer of the Halo games, as well as the less exciting Oni, has officially left Microsoft. It's our understanding that Microsoft still owns the Halo property rights, but Bungie is now free to make whatever it wants for whoever it wants. Bungie has also made it known that they will still develop Halo titles for Microsoft if both parties are interested. So the relationship is not an official breakup, but at least they're free to make games for other people if they want. Hopefully we'll see some Bungie games on the Mac again someday, as they did a lot of great Mac development a long time ago. Xbox 360. Tetris Splash is now available to download on the Xbox Live Arcade for $10, and it's pretty good. I haven't tried all the modes yet, but it's more or less a solid remake with a couple of goofy things about it. Like, you can keep rotating a piece after it hits to the bottom of the screen, which sometimes means you can actually make it jump up a block, which is not good. Target has marked down the Xbox 360 arcade stick from Mad Catz to $19.98, finally. This formerly $39.99 controller is a wired controller with a spinner dial, turbo buttons, a large joystick, and several 25-digit codes so you can download free copies of Time Pilot, Frogger, and Astropop. I got one this week for $19.98 because I've been waiting for it to go on clearance for a while. They've been marking it down for over a month, and it's not following Target's usual clearance schedule. It's pretty good. It's a USB controller, so you can hack it to work on your PC or Mac, I'm sure. And, yeah, you might want to go ahead and get one if you need an arcade joystick, but if you need a good fighting arcade joystick, this is not it. Keep waiting. The Nintendo Wii. Their virtual console this week has some great Japanese imports, including the original Super Mario Bros. 2 from the NES Famicom. That's the one that was the... it played a lot like the original Super Mario Bros., except Luigi could jump higher, and there were gusts of wind and poison mushrooms and some other changes. For the Nintendo 64, Treasure's legendary shooter Sin and Punishment is out there, and that never came out in the US either, despite the fact that the entire game was made in English. So these are both excellent games. They cost slightly more than their domestic downloadable counterparts for reasons I'll never understand. But if you want solid games, this is a good week for you. New at Entertainment Earth! Oh my god, there's so much new stuff this week. Let's start off with the Star Wars 2008 action figures, available for pre-order now. These don't come out till early next year, but as you may or may not know, Star Wars figures are extremely popular here at Entertainment Earth, and cases are all first come, first served. You won't be charged until the case actually ships from our warehouse, so it's probably to your advantage to pre-order today. G.I. Joe 25th Anniversary Waves 4 and 5 are available. Action figures from Halo 3 are available for pre-order as well. We're encouraging pre-orders in those items because we don't know. They seem to be exceedingly popular, and people are just gobbling them up left and right. Individual figures are available as well as cases. I recommend individual figures. If you want Master Chief and Cortana, you should pre-order now. Also, we have new stock of the sell-through hit Big Lebowski bobbleheads. So if you want those again, who knows which run will be the last one. So order today. From Kotobukiya, there's a new series of super detailed Final Fantasy VII action figures, but that's not all. We also have a new Indiana Jones graphic novel comic collection, more Doctor Who goodies, a lot more, and several other items you're just going to have to check out at Entertainment Earth right now. You don't want to miss this stuff. Oh, and there's an exclusive Star Trek communicator coming. It has a vac-metalized lid, an extra voice from the regular version, better paint than the regular version. Diamond's going to have a normal version, and then there's the Entertainment Earth Premium Edition. This is the one that you want. Order it now. A limited number are being made, and if you don't order it now, you'll cry and cry and cry exactly like a Vulcan would not. Except maybe Cybok. He's a bit of a, well, you know, he's a little emotional. So order your exclusive Star Trek communicator now. This week, we're not going to have a Toy of the Week, but instead, we're going to have a look at the 10 years of Final Fantasy VII. I wrote this yesterday, so let's get started. In September of 1997, Square released Final Fantasy VII in the USA on the PlayStation. This is a big deal for a variety of reasons. For example, it was the first time the Japanese number of the sequel matched the U.S. number in the Final Fantasy series, which was something kind of unusual. That the Japanese Final Fantasy VI was actually the American Final Fantasy III, and it gets weirder from there. This was also the first CD-based Final Fantasy game, and is also the most hyped at the time. Previously, the game series existed on Nintendo consoles and featured tiny characters measuring just a few pixels tall. This game transformed your heroes into large polygon lifeforms, in which case some were fully rendered in the then-astonishing three-dimensional realism you would find in the full-motion video cutscenes. While the gaming public has since seen their opinion change on the title, sour and sweeter over the years, by and large, this is a beloved series. And keep in mind, series is referring to just Final Fantasy VII. I'll go on that a little bit more later. Early on, the game focuses on what is essentially a terrorist group bombing a power plant, and slowly transforms into the world-crawling, planet-saving, quasi-environmental love fest with some fairly nifty characters. Your hero, Cloud, is a traditional spiky-haired anime warrior with a mysterious past. The villains are evil corporations of vile swordsmen and more monsters than you could ever expect to see in one of these games. Themes of life and death twist and turn over three CDs, resulting in what was then considered to be the pinnacle of what a video gamer could expect out of life. Gameplay is your typical console RPG fare, which was a pretty specific audience back then because RPGs were kind of nerdy games. They weren't your Madden players, and they certainly weren't your female gamers, but this has since changed. Gamers would walk around, talk to people, fight, explore a dungeon, get new weapons, and fight some more. You could power up your characters with new abilities and weapons, and the adventure would allow you to teach your characters magic through small artifacts called materia. If you could handle basic gaming vocabulary on a console, it would be a pretty easy game to pick up and play through, but keep in mind it'll take you a few dozen hours to beat the game from the time you start to see the somewhat ambiguous ending. Merchandise from the series was lacking up to the point of Final Fantasy VII came out, and as a fan of the series myself, I couldn't find much of anything to buy other than some posters and soundtracks until a buddy of mine in Hong Kong sent me a Cloud Strife action figure from Bandai in January of 1997. Needless to say, I was very happy, and the series eventually spawned 7 action figures from Bandai, with a much later U.S. release with inferior paint decoration and rubbery plastic several months later. The figures jumped up in value in the secondary market to be hundreds of dollars for a set, and the rest, as they say, is history. There were plushies, stickers, super deformed figures, and much more, and the game helped to create the licensed product bonanza we now see for Square video games. One of the neater things to come out, and I think I have to get one of these myself, these aren't out yet, is the first series of PlayArts figures from Kotobukiya. Cloud's sword is still huge, as is Tifa's rack, and the costumes closely match a hybrid of the character's look in the game itself, and in Final Fantasy Advent Children. More on that in a second. The greatest legacy of the game, rather than introducing the video game console RPG to the large, unwashed masses with its pretty graphics and stunning marketing campaign, has to be the fact that it spawned more stories and spin-offs. The Final Fantasy game series, up to this point, had been a series of self-contained adventures in a fantastical world, and each new game would be on a completely new world with all new characters with a few recurring themes and elements. Square realized fans had a lot invested in these characters, so eventually they made more games and stories for us to consume. Just last month in Japan, a new game for PSP called Final Fantasy Crisis Core focused on the events shortly before the original game, focusing on Cloud and his partners Zack and Sephiroth. Final Fantasy Advent Children was a computer-generated movie with wonderful animation, a great soundtrack, and a story that kind of sucked to allow for fan service to thrive wildly over its all-too-brief runtime, focusing on diseases and fights and more fights. An animated adventure called Last Order was shipped to Japan in 2005, but I had never had the fortune of seeing it. Other Final Fantasy VII projects include Dirge of Cerberus on PlayStation 2, which followed the quasi-vampire character Vincent as he went on some shooting adventures, and before Crisis, an adventure appearing exclusively on the Japanese cell phone market. The characters appear in a number of games in cameo form. For example, you can find Cloud in Final Fantasy Tactics, Kingdom Hearts, and a fighting game called Urguise. I was an enormous fan of the series up until Final Fantasy VIII, but I did like 9 as well. And if you haven't had a chance to check out Final Fantasy VII, you might like it. But you might not if you're under 20 when you play through it the first time. The game has been widely rumored for a PlayStation 3 remake, where they remake the game top to bottom, as it is still a very popular game and is, I believe, the best-selling Final Fantasy game worldwide. I haven't replayed through the game in years, so I look forward to an opportunity to do so. But I might just dust off my original PlayStation copy and give it another go when I find another spare 30 hours. Final Fantasy VII is still widely merchandised, from food tie-ins to trading figures to you name it. So if you want something with Final Fantasy VII, it's not like it was for us poor schmucks with Final Fantasy VI. You can actually buy something. So keep an eye open for some of the latest and greatest stuff. We're going to put some interesting new items in this week's show notes. Happy 10th birthday, Final Fantasy VII. It's been a rocky decade, but we're all the better for having you around, and I look forward to something that's going to be a little bit more, yeah, in the future. So, good show. That's all for this week, everybody. Thanks for listening. I should be back next week, same bit time, same bit channel. Please tell your friends about the Entertainment Earth podcast. Our marketing campaign is you. We love you guys. We're happy to give you a show to listen to every week, so as long as you enjoy it, let someone you know about it, because how else are we going to grow our audience? Podcasting is a relatively new entertainment medium, and without evangelists such as you, no one's going to find out about the great stuff that they're missing, like 60 Second Science or This Week in Tech or Laura Schoberg's great podcast at Wired.com. I mean, there's some great stuff out there, and it certainly beats listening to AM radio. No offense if you're an AM radio fan. I don't know what... one bonus thing I need to tell you about. A lot of people have been asking, hey, when are those last few Star Wars Titanium figures and that Battlestar Galactic figure coming out? Well, I just got mine from Entertainment Earth, because that's where I ordered mine. And they came yesterday, and I was shocked to actually see them, because I ordered them over a year ago, but apparently Hasbro came through. The figures are U.S. packaged version, not the Canadian ones, mind you, of Darth Maul, Luke Skywalker in his X-Wing pilot outfit, and a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. These figures are probably going to be in extremely short supply, so if you haven't already ordered them, don't get your hopes up. They are out, they do exist, and with your requests, I will probably review one or two of them. Although I'm sure the review will be something like this. The figure is cold. It is made of metal. It is screwed down to a base. I opened it, but now I can't play with it because it is metal and has no articulation. Oh well. They're basically statues. They're pretty cool looking. The paint is great. I mean, in their little fish tank display cases, they look good. But I don't think if you're a toy fan, the Titanium series is for you. But if you're a collector and you want something cool for a display or a desk, these are great. And for Battlestar Galactica fans, this may be the only Hasbro action figure that exists ever. So get it while you can. That's all for this time. I will see you guys next week. Hopefully we'll have some more exciting news from the world of toys and beyond. You can email me at adam@16bit.com. You can visit my website, which I update almost every day at 16bit.com. You can visit my Star Wars website, which I do visit every day and update every day at galactichunter.com. And as always, thank you to entertainmentearth.com for paying me to give me a job so I can do this podcast. It's a lot of fun. And it's fun that you guys listen. I hope to hear more from you guys shortly. If you guys want, like, I don't know, forums or some stuff like that, let me know. I don't know what you people like, because I basically make a show that I would want to listen to, except for the fact that I'm talking during it, because it would really annoy me to talk during a podcast to have me listening to it, because, you know, I'd be interrupting, I guess. But anyway, see you guys next time. I'm babbling. Have a great weekend.